can't make it, man. I got good things, got you. Hoops and everything, get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the second installment of the Pod Pod for this week. I'm C-Mac, coach of the 429th ranked C-Mac Shark Attack. Yeah, I sound pretty up and about that, don't I? A little bit self-indulgent. But look, Origin was run and won last night. New South Wales played near the perfect half of football. And there's some injuries, there's some restings potential. There's plenty to talk about post-Origin. We're going to dive in and we're going to have a chat about a number of things today. I'm joined by who has been mentioned as the super coach player, or the hottest super coach player on the planet. I think Matt referred to him as a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely airborne, this guy. In seasons gone past, I probably would have thought there's an implosion coming, but I feel like this year is the coming of age, not unlike Mitchell Moses last night. So welcome to Tubes, who is absolutely flying. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Christopher. Thanks for the intro. Thanks for having us. It's funny, we were just talking pre-pod about Origin and I didn't even think about our Supercoach ranks. It's not usual that you do a Thursday pod. Like, it's 439. You're flying. I'm pretty happy with my up to 546 after a big weekend. Was a bit unhappy. It didn't get enough airtime, our rankings on the pod. So we thought we'd jump on and have a chat on a Thursday just to get it in there, but before the round 17 kicks off.
Yeah, I totally agree. I sensed a hint of jealousy from the other three. Look, Matt's also in the top 1,000, so he's going pretty good too. And Dan's certainly turned his season around. So, look, everyone's going pretty good. And, look, Jono's improving out of sight. Not only is he talking a good game this year, I think the back end he'll be playing a good game. So everyone's up and about. It's good to see. So we'll just quickly run through last night's events. Obviously, New South Wales way too good. You know, the only probably serious injury by the looks of it, Tubes, is Hammer, who's got an AC joint. I believe he's going for scans today. So Hammer owners probably watch that
looks
space.
Looks like the latest is someone's just reported that, yeah, set for scans, racing the clock to be fit for the decider. So looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks. Did that happen when he got ragdolled by Stephen Crichton?
That's what it looked like on the telly, mate. It didn't look like there was much in it, but yeah, obviously there was. That was the first.
So I was at the game, and that was the first time I turned to someone and just went, "How dumb's Liam Martin?" Like, he tried to jump on him to like stop him from going in goals, and it certainly wasn't the dumbest thing he did all night, and it wasn't the only time I said those words together either during the Origin match. But he scored a good try. I'll give Liam Martin that.
Absolutely, MAD, Liam Martin. much prefer him on our side than theirs. But yeah, so what we're probably going to do today is just run through some Origin relevant players who may not be backing up, judging from what we probably saw or looked at last night. So I'm just going to dive into a few here, Tubes, just to pick your brain on your thoughts on whether they'll be backing up and, you know, if it's worth, you know, potentially moving these guys on. We'll start with Val Holmes. Obviously, he got a bath last night, looked a very sore body at the end of the 80 minutes. Like, I don't see a huge chance of him backing up. What are your thoughts?
I think he'll be happy to not be running against Latrell Mitchell and Angus Crichton when he does get back to first grade this week or next week. I'd be shocked if he backed up. Like, he was battered and bruised. The only thing is the Cowboys, they do need a win. I know they're playing the Panthers, but and we'll probably talk about that. If the Panthers contingent don't back up, it may play a factor as well. I'll be planning, given that they're the Sunday 4 o'clock game. We may know earlier, but I'll be planning that he won't be playing And so I won't be having him as a number. And then if he does end up playing, I'll potentially switch one of my Tigers or Roosters players to him as a final resort. So that means in my 17, I'm planning on probably playing like a Lockie Galvin so that I can switch him to Val in making my sit v start decisions.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I'm probably in a similar boat with Galvin and only Holmes as well. So it's probably a wait and look. You touched on the Panthers contingent there, Tubes. There's obviously a number there. Look, given their ladder position, playing at home against the Cowboys, it would not surprise me at all. And also playing the Broncos next week at Suncorp, if Ivan Cleary was to rest a number of his boys.
Well, he's done it before. Obviously, Cleary sounds like isn't going to be back now till round 20. The only thing is obviously playing Sunday and it's a home game. There's potential that they back up as long as they pull up okay. And then the plan might be that knowing Cleary's likely going to be back in 20, he can give all the Origin people a rest then. But I'm hoping that they rest, not just for the sake of the different Panthers players not playing, but also for my man Scotty Drinkwater. So I'm hoping the Panthers rest. But if I had to you know bet which way they were going to do it, I'd probably back that Cleary's going to rest them for sure, or a handful of them.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a smart play. Probably another coach another couple of coaches who will have the ability to rest players. We jump over to the Roosters with Lindsay Collins and Angus Crichton, Angus Crichton last night was just an absolute machine. His body must be so sore today, but geez, he dealt out some punishment. Given their ladder position, again, playing Sunday, but playing the Tigers, I'd be very surprised if Robbo would back Angus up this week. Also, given the depth in the back row of the Roosters. So another one to look out for, but certainly wouldn't be surprised if Angus didn't play this week. You got anything different on that, Tubes?
No, he played 80, so surely he's got to be rested. And Lindsay Collins played 46 minutes, which was more than I expected as well. So given he's named on the bench, if he does back up, I would expect him to play less minutes than normal, which has only got to be good for then Terrell May for this week anyway. So I think you can probably confidently look at playing him in your 17 this week, would be my thoughts.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Harry Grant probably only played about, I didn't see the number, but it felt like about 40 minutes last night. Given, again, they're playing at home, I think it's a shortish. I think off the top of my head it might be the Saturday afternoon game.
Saturday
7:30. Yeah, 7:30. Okay, so it's a pretty short turnaround. Again, given their position on the ladder, playing – you know, someone who has been really struggling of late, the Raiders, again, I can see Bellamy resting, but being the club captain, chances of him backing up are probably also pretty good because Harry likes to stay involved. So I'm 50-50 on that one. I really got no idea.
Yeah, no idea at all. I think it'll be a big wait and watch. But given that good that they play Saturday 7:30, we may know by Friday 7:30 before the first game kicks off.
Yeah, that's a great shout because that will be important, obviously, for Harry owners. Look, that's probably enough on the backups that we can probably cover for the moment. We're going to go back to the old format today, going through the games and talking to relevant buys, holds, what have you. So the first game of the weekend.
The only thing before we jump into that, Christopher, is the one other Origin thing that I wanted to mention was I think, and we might talk about it as we go through, but like the Maroons forwards just got dominated and there was no one worse than Jaden Sewer last night. Like he was, I think Jono said it reminded him of his South's 2021 grand final performance, which for anyone that doesn't remember, wasn't pretty. I think that was when they decided he was okay to be let go to the Dragons. So I like, given it's now going to be a decider at Suncorp for round 19, unless Fifita has done something absolutely horrific to a member of Billy's family or someone else in the coaching department of Origin, I would imagine he will be in the side, either starting or on the bench for round 19, which is just relevant because I think everyone's counting for Fifita at the moment as a round 19 number. And I think that you need to, my opinion would be, I'll be checking my expectations and looking to make sure I've got 13 as a minimum, not including Fifita after this week. And yeah, the flip side, Nico Hines, I think you can lock and load him for round 19 after that performance from Mitch Moses last night.
Yeah, 100%. I think I was well rounded out on those two, particularly Fifita. It would seem utter madness if he doesn't find his way into the 17 after that performance last night. He's definitely one that I'd been banking on for 19 and run a little low on trades. It's a little scary.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
We'll jump into the rest of the games for the weekend. So the Bulldogs are playing the Sharks at Acor on Friday night. First, we'll jump into a couple of Sharkies. Renato Mulitalo, he's priced really, really well. Given that Sharks run, he almost looks, you know, too hard to ignore at the minute. What are your thoughts on Ronnie, Tubes?
I think it feels like at the moment there's this contingent, and we'll talk about a few of them tonight, of potential gun center wings that are sub 500k at the moment. And Ronnie seems to be the most obvious choice among them just because he plays round 19 and how good of that Sharks run home is. I hear a lot of chat about, what's his name? Trindle back and how well he went at the start of the year and all of that. I'm not that invested in that. Like, I don't know if it's because Trindle's back, it means Ronnie's going to average 80 on the way home. For me, he was just so electric at the beginning of the year. His base was up. He was just a completely different player. I've seen the history of Ronnie says that he'll have up and down periods. And for me, given how center wing's been this year, I think out of all the sub 500 ones, like he's not it for me. Like I'm not looking to bring him in. Like I can understand why people are, but I think he's one that I'll be happy to lay or antipod if he becomes more popular in people's teams.
Yeah, I definitely see that point of view. Like looking at the Sharks draw, there's going to be a couple of weeks and probably potentially that round 19 against the Tigers at points bet. That's going to be a hard watch. I probably lean your way. There's just a plethora of options at centre wing. So
he's been brought in by 4,000 super coaches according to the app this week, and he's currently in 16% of teams. So, like he could by round 19 be in 30-40% of sort of those teams, and like I don't know, like he could burn me, but I feel like he's someone that you can certainly take on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's no shortage of options to do that with as well. the next guy we're going to talk to is someone who I was absolutely thrilled to bring in a fortnight ago, coming off a 120 against the Dolphins, Britton Nakora. Been somewhat underwhelming so far this year. Obviously, ownership's probably going to go through the roof given last week's score and his very, very low break-even. Is he someone who can – I know the boys mentioned it and talked to it the other night, but in your opinion, is he someone who can take on those other big second-row options for the run home, Chips?
I mean, I'm biased like you. I'm an owner already, so I'm still running off his 120 a couple of weeks back. Yeah. But, look, I just don't think second-row forward's super strong this year. With Fifita, Katoa, Crichton – and then maybe Ola Kawatu. And given that it seems like all of those people I just named are not going to play round 19, Nikora as a sort of fifth, second row forward option that's going to get you through 19, I think is a pretty solid play. I guess it just depends who and how you're trading him in this week. But I'm happy to own him. I think he's a solid hold for the whole run home. And I expect him to be averaging sort of 60 with some upside as well as a good depth player.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And yeah, like you touched on, happy that he's already in my side. Next guy we're going to talk about, everyone's going to be falling over themselves to get him in for round 19, is Nico Hines. Obviously, huge break even of 212 this week, playing against a Bulldog side who defensively are right up there with the best. So my take on Nico is, you know, watch and wait, pick him up either next week or the week after, but you've got to pick him up before 19. That Sharks run is amazing. He has proven to be, if not the premier Supercoach player, one of, cannot be taken on, in my opinion, for the run home. So do whatever you can to bring him in before round 19. Tubes, you held, didn't you? You're still a Nico owner?
Yeah, so you're, based on your opinion you just gave, you sold. Like, you're waiting to bring him in?
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk yourself into how good the Bulldogs, it's going to be a terrible watch for you on Friday night, I think. Like, look, I mean, I think it's similar to what we've said before. If you've made your decision, you're sort of living with it right now. And it really is going to come down to this Friday night. Like, if Nico goes 80 or less, the sellers probably win that decision. And if Nico can go sort of, actually probably 100 or less, the sellers win that decision. If Nico can go 120 plus with the VC on for owners, then obviously it's sort of tilting back that way. I'm backing him in for a big game performance. I really do think the Sharks will go well against the Dogs. I'm assuming Stephen Crichton's not going to back up. And just as a matchup, I think the Sharks pack will dominate the Bulldogs pack. I don't care how good defensively they've been. So I'm really looking forward to a Nico 120 plus this Friday night. But yeah, either way, I don't think you're bringing him in unless you already own him this week.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with your take there, Tubes. Next guy on the run sheet here from the Dogs, only owned by 5.8%, just coming back from injury, priced at 476. Bit of a pod play this. Big Billy Kicks came back from injury last week with a 60. I've previously owned Billy Kicks over the years. He can go on these runs. Do you foresee him going on one of them, Tubes?
Well, I just think Viliami Kikau as a potential option, 476K. He obviously was all the rage at the start of the year. He got to as high as 590K, so 600K. I think he's a good pot option. Obviously, Sharks this week, then Warriors, they don't play the round 19 bye, which means he's probably not going to be super popular. So if you've got enough numbers, then they play the Cowboys, they got Broncos, Raiders, Dragons. Like, there's just enough in their run where, you know, on matchup, you feel like he could go big. Like, for as much as I like the Sharks this weekend, the Dogs have been much better this year. I just think he's not a bad, you know, 20th, 21st, 22nd man for your run home squad with a bit of upside to play on matchup. 476K. I like him as a bit of a pod option, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't hate it, Tubes. It's just, yeah, I suppose you probably touched on it with Nikora. Like, you've got those probably three second rowers locked away, or you're hoping to lock away, and then you just work out the next couple, and he's probably not a bad option. So, yeah, I don't mind it. Not for me, but I can definitely I could get around it for others. Next game, Warriors versus the Broncos. We'll probably quickly touch on a couple of the Broncos. We didn't probably mention them at the start. Reece Walsh would have a very, very sore body today. He was absolutely manhandled and ragdolled on numerous occasions. Then to jump on an international flight and go and have to play against the Warriors, I'm not sure he backs up. Given where the Broncos are situated on the ladder, I can't see Reece Walsh backing up, Tubes. Your thoughts on it?
Nah, well, he did get ragdolled a few times, but I thought he got up really slow with about 4 minutes to go as well, like potential with his concussion, recent concussion history. I'd be shocked if he backs up. He'll be having nightmares, though, until he plays again about Luttrell, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point. They might just want to roll him out just to get him some reps under his belt because he has been a bit underdone lately. But in terms of the other guys from the Broncos, I think Paddy Carrigan backs up and I think Haas does. Probably a good place to start with big bad Payne. Probably played his best Origin game to date. Are you a Payne owner, Tubes?
No. I don't think many are. He's in my plans. Tyrrell May to him at some point over the next 3 to 4 weeks is sort of my so I hope he plays, and I hope he plays like 30 minutes and we just get a nice low score into his rolling average just to bring him down sort of 30, 40K for when I'm looking to bring him in.
Yeah, add me to the list on that. That sounds amazing. Whether it happens or not, I'm not sure. Kevy likes to this time of year really run him into the ground. There's probably not a whole heap else to talk to about the Broncos. So we'll jump over to the Warriors again. Probably not a great deal. They're a funny team this year. I can't get a read on them. I've been a little disappointed all year. I suppose the one shining light when SJ was out was Tamari Martin, who has been absolutely firing. Although the price is high, is he someone you would consider bringing in? Or if you did bring him in, what would you be doing with Tamari Martin over the next couple of weeks, Tubes?
I think it just depends where you're at. Like, he's nearly 700K. Like, he's given SJ's out for 4 weeks. I suppose they've just played their bye round, so you're probably not looking to bring him in now. You're just a very happy owner, I think, that if you've held him. But their run coming up, so after 20, it's sort of Raiders, Tigers, Eels. If SJ's not back and he's the dominant half over that period, yeah, he'll be a nice hold for those that currently own him, for sure.
I actually do think their seasonal turnaround. Coming off the other day, I went and backed them to make the eighth. Whether that's a good decision or a poor decision, I just looked at their draw because you touched on it and just made me rejigging my mind. I actually don't mind them for the back end, but Tamari Martin's probably not one I'm too keen on. If you grabbed him early and held to this point, he's been really good for owners.
Roger might be interesting for that run, actually, now that we're like mentioning that run, because what do you have on the weekend, Roger? Like a minus something, or minus whatever it was, terrible score. So he's going to drop now right in price. I know a lot, very highly owned at the beginning of the year. A lot of people, he hasn't had that ceiling. But if he got a 15 on the weekend. So if he now drops to sub 400K by round 20 or thereabouts, before they then go on that run, as we just said, sort of Canberra, Tigers, Para, Dolphins, Manly, he might be an interesting pickup for that sort of stretch if you think that the Warriors are going to go on a bit of a tear. Trades pending.
Yeah, especially if he comes in under 400, then he's coming definitely into the shop window. Next game, Knights v Eels. Now this is a game where there are a few people to talk to. We might kick it off with the Para boys. Gutho, I know you've got a strong opinion about Gutho.
It's not that strong. Like, I think we're going to talk about Fletcher Sharp during this game as well. I just a lot of people jumping on Fletcher this week, and I want to antipod Fletcher, although he may not even be, like, given the Ponga reports that are sort of coming out. And I've just looking around at what fullback options there are. So I think a lot of people, they might have held Luttrell. A lot of people jumped off Drinky. And then obviously Teddy's the highest owned fullback. I wouldn't say that I want Gutho as a season-long keeper at fullback. I don't think he can match it with them over that period of time. But the run they have coming up, they play 19. So they're playing the Knights this weekend. Then they play the Bunnies round 18. Then they play the Titans in round 19, so a good round 19 number. He's 600K. I think Gutho's proven, you know, over the last few seasons that he can be a dominant player on matchups, and he certainly can go 100-plus. So over the bye period last year, he went 138, 132, 119 in a three-game stretch. So it'd be a big pod play. I think he's owned by somewhere in the vicinity of 2% of overall. I don't know what that is in the top 1%. It's probably a lot less than that. I just think at 600K, the price could be right. Three-run stretch and just hope he goes 100-plus all the way through. If Mitch Moses doesn't back up this week, he'll kick goals. He'll be a dominant half, and then he'll be the same in round 19 against the Titans. What do you think?
That's it. Yeah, I'm a Luttrell owner, so I'm so torn at the moment on what I do over this next month with Luttrell, because I sort of do want him for the run home, but it's really hard not having those points at the same time. So you've actually shone a light on Gutho that I was not looking at, and you might have sold me. That's a pretty good sell.
If you had a low break even, it would be a lot juicier.
Yeah, the 99 break even. So, because I am going to need him to make cash over the period, but what are they? They've got the buy in 20, but yeah, look, it's definitely made me think. Tubes, nice shout.
It's a risky 3-round rental, but like, could have high upside.
Yeah,
no, certainly. If for those outside the top 1,000, it might be a pod play against sort of that top 1%.
Yeah. Which we're a part of. Deal bags. Obviously, you know, started the season a little bit slow, but he looks like he's just gone back to form, flying. He's actually one I'm looking at to put either a VC or C on this week. Yeah, been really, really happy with his output of late. Mitchell Moses coming back just... it's just added to his game again. So I'm a very, very happy owner at the moment and looking for him to go on a really good run for the way home. You're a bags owner, aren't you, Tubes?
Yeah, me and 88% of the other top 1% are Dylan Brown owners. So I think he's sort of the one that we're looking to keep kicking goals. I do agree with you. His interest really now comes, I think he becomes a captaincy option over the next few weeks. And, yeah, I think he's looked a lot better since Mitch Moses has been back and his upside and is there, it's back.
Yeah, agreed. Next power player we'll talk to is one of Dan's boys always and forever, Will Bunnicini, owned by 3%, definitely shown plenty so far this season. He's What do we got? We've got a break even of 42 with that same run we're talking about, coming off two 99s and a 64 in the last three games. Wow. He really is. He straps.
I had him earlier in the season. I brought him in round 7 and he went 89, 53, 60. And then I think I sold him to Blaze or someone I was looking to get in. There was a reason, and he seemed to be the obvious one at that point in time. He then had a 30 against the Storm in round 11, but since then has, as you said, gone 99, 64, 99. His base has been unbelievable all year. It's just been whether or not he can take that step in attack. I think if he scores a try or sets up a try, he gets sort of those 80s and 90s. Similar to what we said, with his run coming up, is he someone that you take a risk on? 629K is probably the like, – I'd love him to be a – like, he's a, he'd be a must-have for me if he was one of the 400K boys, but he's just been going too well of late.
Yeah, no, agreed. I didn't. I must admit, I didn't realize he'd been going that well. That's some great numbers. Yeah. At the price, it's probably. I'm not going there, but yeah, he.
99 against the Roosters with only one try assist, break assist. So he had something like 8 points in offloads, 20 points in tackle breaks. Like he's just been phenomenal. Over the sort of middle parts of the season. He's only 21. That's why he's Dan's boy. He loves an up-and-comer.
Yeah. And low ownership too. So, I couldn't talk anyone out of him, actually. I didn't actually see him coming. So that's a good call. We'll jump over to the Knights now. And I guess the guy on everyone's lips is Fletcher Sharp on the bubble this week, 204. There are conflicting reports about KP's return, whether it be very, very soon or, not until round 22. So I guess, if you are going Fletcher Sharp, just be aware that, if KP returns early, it could really burn you. But I think you touched on earlier, Tubes, you are looking at any pod or take on Sharp over the next month or so?
Yeah, I think so, only because, cash is always good, but I don't necessarily need a huge amount of cash. Like for my run home team that I want, I really want to get Cleary back in, but like Hughes has been going so well that it could be a downgrade to Cleary by the time he's back with from Hughes. I've held Nico. And so I just think I'm happy to take that risk and hope that Ponga is back and then get Ponga or a Turbo when he's back. A week or two earlier than everyone else that maybe has gone for the Sharp trade.
Yeah, I guess it's very like that's what the boys probably touched on the other night and did actually. Very team dependent. Someone like you who doesn't need the cash to get Nico back, I can definitely understand why you wouldn't be getting him. Someone like me who does need the cash to try and get Nico back, he is ultra tempting and really, really hoping that if I do go that way that KP just sits on his hands for another month or so because, it would be really nice if you could sell him a bit later on. Next guy we'll talk to is big Greggy boy Marzu. He's been a funny one this year. He just obviously last year he was probably, if not the form centre winger, he was right in the conversation. He was an absolute barrel. He's dropped back in form a bit this year. He's priced at 463, break even of 71. Knights do play round 19. They got a decent run with Para, Canberra, Manly over the next 3 weeks, and then play Brisbane in Newcastle after Origin 3. So that's not a bad fixture either. What are your thoughts on big bustling Greggy Marzu?
I owned him at the start of the year for 789K, and he got injured, and he didn't look completely right for about 3 or 4 weeks after he came back. And then obviously Ponga going down. But his work rate hasn't dropped significantly. He just hasn't scored any tries or had any line breaks or had any attacking stats at all, which, if you were harsh on him, you could blame him. But typically it's really just the Knights' attack. And the reason I thought he's interesting for this week is his break-even 71, so it's not necessarily the week to get him. I think he'll be in a lot of people's teams by round 19, especially if KP's back or close to being back by then. But far out, this Eels team is like, he's going to be coming up against Blaise Talangi on the weekend, isn't he? That's been a leaky defensive edge, and it could just be a bit pottish for this week anyway as a play. 463K. If I was looking, so we mentioned Ronnie earlier, or him, I'd certainly lean going Greg over Ronnie based on those things.
as we were chatting, I sort of thought to myself, who would you rather between those two actually as well? And, I'm in your camp as well. I just think that base is there. And if the points do come, and that run's nice, and that Manly round 19 game, I saw Manly play on the weekend without their Origin stars. That's a reserve grade side. So he could really do some damage. So, definitely one to look at, Greggy boy. Next game, we've got the Storm and the Raiders in Melbourne. Who will we talk to here? We'll start off with Sua Faialonga, who cruelly gave owners, 17 on the weekend, was it?
No, he upgraded to 33. You're a non-owner.
I missed the upgrade. Exactly. Yeah, so it wasn't important to me, but I missed the upgrade. Sorry. So that's actually not too bad. It might have been enough to get in your side. You are an owner. What are you doing?
So he scored 33 in 18 minutes, but I think importantly, it also meant that his break-even's only currently 51. I mean, we're talking about someone that's named in the number 22 jersey. The reason he's worth talking about is apparently Pappy's 50 to play. Like, so for me, I think he's 100% a hold if Pappy's out and he gets named at fullback against this Raiders team. Like he and playing 17, like I see him smashing that break even of 51. And if Pappy's out this week, again, I'm not like saying or wishing ill on Pappy, but as in certainly if you're getting a game from Sua this week, I want to hold him for as long as he's in that starting sort of 13 for the Storm. If Pappy's plays, then I think that's where you're potentially looking at downgrading across the board. But I think it depends what you're looking to do. But I think if Pappy plays, he's a sell. If not, you hold in for at least another week.
Fair. Another cheapie who I think he's named in the centres this week after starting on the wing last week. He's been enough for everyone for the last few years, but getting some game time now, Jackie Boy Howarth. Looks strong. I don't know if Bellamy was over the moon with his run in the 79th minute where the one-on-one strip and the Dolphins were coming to get the Storm, but he definitely looks strong. He's looked strong every time I've seen him. Any interest in Jack Howarth at all, Tubes, at 225, or are we a bypassing?
I mean, 62 with a try assist and line break, I think it was. So that's pretty good base numbers, realistically. He's 225K. He's only available in second row, but if you're getting him, you're trying to believe that Bellamy is picking him realistically over Remus Smith, or he's now in the conversation for their back line. I don't mind it too much. He's break even a minus 12. So, I mean, you could probably wait another week. And if he gets named again, I think he becomes a bit of an option, like as a sort of like as a downgrade option, who either plays center or gets nuffed out. I mean, worst case would be though that he goes back to a bench role if he doesn't get named in that center.
That would be a disaster, I think. I'd be too fearful that would be the case. But I don't know. Probably not one for me, but yeah, definitely worth looking at the price. And if he was able to get Jagger spot for a while, I can understand why people would be going looking.
Next 2 weeks, even Canberra West Tigers. Like, but I think everyone's depth is pretty good. Looking for players.
I guess what we've probably got to ask is, I haven't seen any news on why Nick Meaney was out. Is it an injury that he's going to be out for a prolonged period of time, or I haven't seen any news on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. Research beforehand.
Yeah, we probably should have and could have. But, make sure you go and do your own research there, listeners. Joey Tapps. I know one particular super catcher on the weekend was absolutely furious with the amount of time he spent on the bench at Campbelltown. And in our group chat, it was quite enjoyable to watch the red come in. Although, you know, 89, he is he's flying, in my opinion. Watching him anyway, I he had the 58 in between two really good Supercoach scores. Joey Taps, is he a run home front rower for YouTubes?
I think he is if you already own him. Like he's a top four second row forward. I think you got to pick two of them. And I already own AFB and I like Haas over Tarpany. So I'm just going to let him go, I think. But yeah, he's had a nice run for owners that picked him up, especially for that buy coverage last week, but doesn't play round 19, nearly 700K. I'm happy to let him go through the keeper.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think there's just a couple of better options, and you know, we always, I think we say it every year, you just worry about those minutes and that rotation with Ricky. Dragons, Dolphins. This will be an interesting game at Cogger, actually, but Supercoach wise, Jermaine Asako. It's been a funny year for Jermaine Asako. Like I think he's been really strong. At times, obviously their buy coverage has been amazing. So his ownership's probably over this period shown that. Are you an owner, Tubes, of Jermaine Asako?
I got him last round I got him for the buy. Well, he got 76. So I was happy enough. It was a pass mark. And I think he's a definite hold through 19. Sammy tried to talk me out of him just because their run home after 19 is quite tricky. I think they play the Panthers, the Storm, the Broncos, the Bulldogs, the Roosters during that sort of run home. For me, given he has the goal kicking, his floor seems to be sort of those low 40s, mid 40s. I think he's a good fifth and sixth center wing. That you want to play on matchups, but then are happy to play if you start running out of trades and you need depth. So, I brought him in. He's 614K. I don't think I'd be trading him in anymore because you've just missed that last buyer, but I certainly won't be. I'll be happy to hold him now through to the end of the season and just see what happens.
Also, probably worth noting that they do have the buy in round 18. So, you know, I don't think it's worth picking him up, but I'm probably in your camp. If you do have, I'd be holding. Next guy who's become relevant after last night's game, potentially, Trey Fuller, who's, each time he's played first grade has looked enormous. He's looked really, really strong. I thought he played really well again last week. The extent of Hammer's injury still to come. Is Trey Fuller someone you could see taking up a fullback spot for, if not, you know, the next month for a prolonged period, given Hammer could be out for a while?
I think you'd want to know before this weekend. But if Hammer's out for more than a month, I think he came on with a bang and he could be another option at 476K that, you know, banks you some cash for this week, break even a 47, but he could explode over the next few weeks that you could almost look for a 3 or 4 week rental and hope he makes another 150K. I don't love it completely. I suppose it's like team dependent. If you need a downgrade for say a Nico, and Hammer's out, and we know Pong is back. So there's so many hypotheticals in this, but he's an option, I suppose. That's probably as good as it gets. But I think he's worth looking at if everything matches up.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Again, probably not one I'm going to go towards. This is next guy, Ewan Aitken. We're talking pre-pod about, those guys who have that dual ability to go between your second row center wing, Alara, Burbo, Dylan Lucas. Ewan Aitken sits right in amongst that. I think he's having a really good season. Just quality scores have just nonstop. I don't think he's scored under 50 all year as I look down the scores, which is great. Priced at 650, and, you know, we've already spoken about their run and the bye next week, could you entertain Ewan Aitken?
The reason I don't mind him is, like, his floor has been, like, ridiculous this year. I think his lowest score is 50 in round two. Yes. And basically he's had six or seven games in the 50s, and that's just when he gets base. And then often he does get attacking stats. He sort of goes between 50 and 90 effectively. Second row forward, the Dolphins are going to be in the hunt for the eight most of the year. He's not going to be rested. They're going to be trying hard. And that's what I'm worried about some in the center wing. And that's why I think it's a good option. When you run out of trades with 3 weeks to go, if you do, or you don't have many left, is probably an easier way to put it. When the likes of the Roosters and you own in a Manu and a Dom Young and they get rested for the last couple of rounds, just having that steady man that you know is going to bust out a 60 for you and you can switch around, I think is going to be invaluable. And plays the round 19 bye. They play the Dragons this week. I still think he's an option. Maybe not this week, but maybe for the round 19 and then hold for the run home as your six second row forward to swing down.
You're definitely throwing up some good options today, Tubes. You're making me think a lot about players I hadn't previously thought of. So I don't know whether you're helping me or hindering me.
I feel like it's probably just showing I'm spending too much time on Supercoach at the moment. I'm looking too deep.
Don't we all? Next game, Panthers-Cowboys. Yeah, look, this one could be an interesting one given both teams very, very well represented by both State of Origin sides. So it could be a case of mass restings or some really sore bodies running out. One guy who will not be sore and will definitely be playing, barring, you know, any craziness between now and Sunday, is Scott Drinkwater, who has been, you know, an absolute Supercoach star for a couple of years, probably the best player in Supercoach last year. I think he won the potty of the for player of the year and deservedly so. He was sold by a lot of teams in the last couple of weeks, mine being one of them. You're a drinky holder, and I guess you're probably excited of that for that mass exodus that has occurred. Would you, you know, if you've held drinky, you're obviously holding, but is he one that you could see players jumping back on? Would you be jumping back on a drinky for the run home, given that the Cowboys have got two byes still to come, but to sort of even that up, I think they play six of their last nine games at home. So it's a real interesting, probably conundrum is the word I'm looking for.
This is my argument for Drinky. I held him, and I think I'm happy that I held. I mean, obviously I made that decision. We'll see what happens. I think we've said it on the pod previously. They play six of the last eight at Cowboys Stadium, whatever it's called up there, Q-Bus or something. Queensland Country Bank Stadium. So I think like he performs significantly better up there. And I think now he's actually only owned by 14% of the top 1%. So if you're trying to make up ground, there's not many with a bigger ceiling than Scotty Drinkwater. I think if you've decided to hold him, you'd be crazy to be selling this week just because they're playing the Panthers. The argument to buy him for me is literally he's got a break in 112. If there was a world where it got to that we found out on Saturday afternoon that all Panthers players were not backing up and Val wasn't backing up, then Drinky takes over the kicking, given Val is gone and Drinkwater's going to kick. You're sort of backing in that the Panthers, without their stars, are a little bit more leaky, without Edwards at the back, directing traffic, etc. And you could be looking at bringing him in there. Like I said, he's become a pod, 14% of the top 1%, and I think he is a good fullback for the run home to take on the likes of Tedesco, or you could have a Drinky and a Teddy. So, yeah, I think it's team dependent. I think it depends on what happens with the Panthers. But, yeah, that's my case for bringing him in this week.
Yeah, I don't know if I could this week, but, you know, I don't think you're going to go wrong with these kinds of players. Like, they're guns. They're always guns. You couldn't talk anyone out of it. And, yeah, he's just as likely to go Burko against the Panthers side that's under strength this weekend and go on a bit of a tear. Next guy I want to talk to is probably one of my favourites, one of my favourite Supercoach players. He, speaking of going on tears, he's coming off 170 and 100. Big bad Brian To'o, minus break even. You know, the question mark is, will he back up or not? Look, it's the term I do like to use, but I think he's going to the moon price-wise. I fear if you can't get him in the next couple of games, he might be gone, given that there are other players that you desperately need to bring in. Could you get around, if he stays in the side, rather, on Sunday, could you get around bringing in big, bad Brian Tubes?
I hope he doesn't play, because I can't do it this weekend, like myself. I'm pretty well set up for 19, so I think if people are in a similar boat, like, if he doesn't play this weekend, like, he's a huge option next weekend, because then obviously he's going to miss 19. But yeah, that run home, and he's going to be a pod because he's going to be hard to get in for people. And he's just like the best one, like certainly in the top couple of center wings in the competition. So yeah, I hope he doesn't play this week because I can't get him. I'm not saying I definitely get him next week, but I'll certainly be trying to find a way.
Yeah, I desperately want to. Can't do it this week.
Week because you got to get Hines as well. That's why I think he's going to be hard to get.
That's my point with it. Like it's difficult. So I'm I love Brian. I'd love to have him. I just got a bad feeling it's going to be one of those ones that I miss. And anyway, such is life. The next guy we'll talk to is another centre wing, Isaac Tungo. Priced at 433. Started the season with some really, really big scores. He's come back into his shell a little bit. Look, his base seems okay. He's you know, punching out those 40s as probably the floor. The probably silver lining for an Isaac Tungo is you've got Nathan Cleary coming back into that side, and they will be they'll be flying for the run home, the Panthers, once they get back to full strength. Is at the price, is there any interest in an Isaac Tungo?
Nah, not for me. He's looked no good. I think his numbers are inflated because of how good he looked at the start of the year, but he hasn't looked good, I don't think, for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Don't get me wrong, Cleary could change that, but I'll wait and see. And if Cleary changes it, I'll consider him then. I'll pay the extra 100K for him at that point in time, I think.
And I think that's probably a good play, given that you know, he's not going anywhere price wise for a while. So yeah, that's probably a good way to play it. Next guy on the list here is Scott Sorensen. Now, a guy with a bit of pedigree, he was a really strong Supercoach player last year, probably again hasn't scaled the heights that he did last season. This season, about 550, bit of a pod play here, but again, probably someone who with Cleary back will earn some more points, definitely become a chance of attacking points. So what are your thoughts on Scotty?
Yeah, he carries the weight of being Chad's brother-in-law, and he carries it well. I mean, everyone knows how well he did last year. He wasn't expected to be the starting back rower. He won that position last year, and he ended up averaging 67 for the year, but had a run where he went sort of 175 and 100 and 68 and just like had some real high upside games. I think we said it before with Cleary coming back. I think he's an option. He's a pod option. He's back to 80 minutes 3 weeks in a row, and I think he'll lock up that edge. I don't know if you do it this week. He's only break even of 68, but I think we put him there. I think he's worth a mention. Like we mentioned a few out of the box ones tonight. I think he's another one in that back row that you could be looking at over the next few weeks for a run home.
Yeah, definitely worth mentioning those kind of guys, because sometimes this, especially once the buys are done, it gets that that look about everyone's got a very similar team. So it's nice to find those guys, and he's definitely an option, I think. A run home player who's going to have Nathan Cleary on the inside. Not too bad. We jump over to the Roosters Tigers game now. The Tigers airborne, two in a row off the bottom of the ladder, absolutely flying. Adam Dewey scoring a try from 80 out, showing great leadership. Stefano crossing the drive, Appy just shooting the lights out. Galvin coming back from the broken hand, looking unbelievable, which was great for those of us who held. But very, very different test this Sunday, the Roosters as opposed to the Raiders. We'll probably start with the Roosters, someone who's probably underperformed for the last month. As an owner, look, I'm certainly not worried about it, but it's not the output I was sort of hoping for. Joey Manu coming off a 51-39-63, which, on the face of it isn't so bad, but for someone who has that super coach pedigree and has that real high upside, I was definitely hoping for more. Any cause for concern for Manu owners, Tubes, or it's just... he's got a really nice next couple of weeks coming up. Hold and enjoy. Is that sort of the way you'd frame Manu?
Unfortunately, I think it is. I don't own him. And so I've enjoyed the last few weeks. He's owned by 80% of the top 1%. I'm scared this weekend against the Tigers. I'll be scared next week against the Dragons. And if somehow I can get him beat for another 2 weeks, then I won't be able to do it anymore, and I'll pick him up at that cheaper price. But he is ripe for the picking if anyone doesn't own him. 677K. I can't see how you're selling him. He's thereabouts to be picked up, but not for me this week. It's going to be a scary watch. Him and Teddy, I don't own either. Could be out of the top 1,000. I could be out of the top 10,000 after this weekend, depending on how the Roosters go.
What chooks do you have?
Dom Young. That's it.
Yeah, nice. See, I'm very Roosters dependent at the moment.
And Carol May as well.
I'm Manu, Young, and Teddy. So I'm really hoping for a massive Sunday where they just go Burko. So could be a couple of potential captains in that game too. We'll jump over to the Tigers. Big Stefano. He's he's been told he's free to look elsewhere, and I reckon elsewhere might be very interested after the way he played on the weekend. You've held him pretty much all year, and that must have been very pleasing on the weekend when he barged over off Appy. I imagine you were very up and about, but Stefano just keeps getting it done.
I like the free to look elsewhere. Like it's
he's in the shop window. Yeah. It's perfect.
It's motivating. It's motivating, and he's a PPM like man when he's motivated. So I'm not worried about the matchups against the Roosters and that. I think he's an option. Their run is just so good. Like it's pretty boring to bring in a front row forward for a bye period, but. He's a definite hold and he's a definite third front row forward hold, I think, now for the season potentially.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as you say, I just think it's a good thing that he is effectively putting himself out there for the next 10 weeks. Come and pick me up, guys. So, if I was an owner, I'd be very happy. The next guy is probably someone we can throw into those sort of pod categories where if you're looking to take on the rest of the player or the top quality players in that position, Drew Buller, 467, had a breakout year last year and was in many a team. The ownership's nowhere near what it was. He's only at 2% this year, but Look, I don't think he's one you could take on the big guys with, but he's a potential option for the run home, I think. At least on a month basis, probably around the, you know, around 20 to 23, 24. I'd consider him if you weren't completely sold on the other guys you've got there. Look, it's hard given the caliber of player at fullback, but he's definitely got that game in him to go massive. He's got a real big ceiling, I feel.
to the moon. I think I put him on there. I was looking for pod options, but I'm sort of talked out of him already. Like, they got the Roosters.
It's hard for me to try and talk him up then.
the only thing is he's 467K. He is better than that. He plays round 19 against the Sharks, round 20 against the Bunnies, round 21 against the Warriors, round 22 against the Cowboys. If you were any chance you'd get him for round 19 and you just like hope for the best. He's owned by three teams in the top 1%. So he'd be really against the grain if you're looking at making a move. And that's basically the case for him.
Yep. No. Fair enough. All right, that rounds out the games for this week. So I suppose we'll jump on to our VC and captain options for this week. For ourselves and for just, you know, in general. So Tubes, who are you looking at personally to I got a feeling it might be Friday night's game that you're looking at a VC, but who are you looking at for VC and captain this week?
I'm tossing up VC Nico or straight C Nico. That's the main decision I've got to make. Because I don't have that many captaincy options outside of that, because I think everyone's going to captain Teddy, and so they should own him. And obviously I don't. If I don't go Nico as the straight C, I think Dylan Brown's an option with their matchup. I'm looking at Katoa or Ekat as an option as well. I could go Dom Young as a bit of a hedge against Teddy because obviously the potential to go huge as well. I think there's sort of a few options, but, yeah, for me, if you own Nico, he's a clear-cut VC or C. If you own Teddy, he's a clear-cut C. They're sort of the two big ones I expect this week.
I'm pretty aligned to that. I'm currently tossing out my VC between Dylan Brown and Jerome Hughes. I think Jerome Hughes has been in great form lately and playing against those Raiders in Melbourne. And if Harry's out, I just think he plays a real role. So if Harry's out, I will definitely VC Jerome Hughes. I'm leaning Teddy, but it just feels, you know, it feels very, you know, everyone's going to be doing it. So, you know, you sort of stay with the pack, but, you know, that's not what we really like to do, is it? So, you know, I've got those other options, as I mentioned, those other Rooster boys there. So it could be
You'd be crazy not to do it. Crazy. Oh. Like, as in, he got bloody 88 in the wet, in the torrential rain the other night. Like, I don't know how, but he did.
I know, but you know what I mean? Just having that outlier captain is where you actually do make those big jumps.
Yeah.
Look, I'm pretty happy
with this week. Like, then I'll be sitting. I'll be feeling a bit more comfortable with watching Tedesco on the weekend. That's about it.
Definitely. But all right. So they're probably the captain options. Nothing out of the box there. I think that was all pretty stock standard. But look, that rounds us out, Tubes. It was nice doing a second pod this week after Origin. I really enjoyed it. A daytime pod. First time I think I've done one. So very, very enjoyable. Good luck to everyone out there on the weekend. Hope you score well and catch up with Tubes and I. Thanks very much, Tubes. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you, Christopher. It was good. They managed to get a short and sharp pod, so obviously it's us that dragged the chain a little bit.
No one has to.
Hopefully it's been an enjoyable hour, and you beauty.